RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
You've got questions. Melanie's got answers. This is Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
Well, if you're somebody that suffers from constipation, you know how uncomfortable it can be. You see those commercials, feel like I'm sitting on rocks. Or if you have children that are constipated, as I did, my son was constipated till he was about 9. And you know, I love to talk about bowel movements. My guest today, Dr. Stephen Wangen. He's the medical director and co-founder of the IBS Treatment Center. So Dr. Wangen, constipation, I've always just assumed that fiber was the culprit. But that wasn't the case with my son, because he was eating plenty of fiber even when he was a little guy.
Yeah, you know, that's right. Everybody's told that it's fiber, and in fact, I agree 100%. I find that it's rarely the fiber that's the issue, although you can change things with fiber, but that's really usually treating the symptom rather than the cause. And so it can be a lot of different things, but it's probably not just a matter of you need more fiber, even though it's an easy thing to tell people and to sell them on.
Well, let's give them the basics of bowel movements. How often a day should you go? And remember, Oprah came out a few years ago talking about how they should float and you should always look at your bowel movements. So I always started doing that, and especially even with my kids. So how often should we go?
Yeah, that's good. We should cover that, and I'm really impressed that you actually did that with your kids, too, because you can tell a lot about a person's health from their bowel movements. And so what normal is that a person should have a bowel movement 1 to 2 times a day, typically, and it's something that should be really unremarkable. It shouldn't be something that you're spending a lot of time thinking about or worried about or having to deal with or a lot of time in the bathroom. It's pretty much I got to go, and you don't have to get any urgency, but you know you're going to have to take care of business, and you go and you do that, and you're done in 5 minutes, and that's it, and then you move on with your day, and that's how it should be, and there should be no straining and no incomplete evacuation. This is a common problem that I'll see that people will have, is that they go, but then they say, you know, I don't feel like I finished the job, and then they got to go again, and then maybe they got to go again, and they have to do it several times before they feel like it's really done. And that's really another form of constipation, even though a lot of people think constipation is just a super hard stool that you have to strain to get out.
So, okay, so you shouldn't have to strain 1 to 2 times a day. Are there some things that you should be looking for when you look down at it, whether it's formed, whether it's loose, floating, any of those sorts of things?
Well, the stool should be well-formed, meaning it's 1 or 2 long pieces. It shouldn't be little pebbles. You know, that's really constipation when you've got little, like rabbit pellets, people like to mention that, or just these small hard balls. It shouldn't be like that. There shouldn't be straining, and it shouldn't be loose either. That, of course, wouldn't be constipation. That would be pretty obvious if it were on the loose side, but then things are falling apart, and it's not really holding form or holding together. And really, it's not supposed to float, because when it floats, you've got a lot of fat in the stool, because as we all know, oil floats on water, and so fat is an oil, and if there's a lot of fat in the stool, it'll float. And what that means is that you're not absorbing and breaking down your fats properly, so the fat content of the stool is a lot higher than it should be.
Wow.
And that'll cause it to float. So really, it should be sinking.
That's not what Oprah said a few years back, and so people were looking for that floaters, but now that's really, really great information that it should be sinking and not holding up to the top, because that means that there's fats. Now, what about, like, if you do have to strain? Is that cause hemorrhoids? Because people have always talked about that.
Sure, yeah. Anything that irritates that area down there, that irritates your anus. So if you're straining, you know, if you have really big stools or really large stools, or they just don't want to come out and you have to strain a lot, then you're putting pressure on that area, and that can cause hemorrhoids. But the opposite can cause hemorrhoids as well. If you have a lot of loose acidic stools that are really irritating, that'll also damage that tissue down there and cause irritation and can cause hemorrhoids as well. So either way, you can get hemorrhoids. But if you've got a lot of irritation, then there's something wrong, because it should be a nice healthy area that you don't suffer from. But once you do, once you get a hemorrhoid, of course, if anybody's had them, they know how painful that is.
Yeah, just have a baby one time, and then you got hemorrhoids for the rest of your life. It's very pleasant. So, Dr. Wangen, what can we do about constipation? Because my kid was on Miralax for a while, but I didn't like that because I felt like it was depleting him of nutrients. And maybe I was wrong, but tell us about what are some options that we can do if somebody suffers from constipation.
Well, right, there are a lot of products that are being used, like Miralax and Ducalax and all kinds of fiber products. And none of those, like you say, they're not really curing the problem. They're just trying to soften things up to keep it moving because you got to go. But they're not really solving the problem. And what I find is that most people who have constipation are suffering from any number of combination of issues. They might have a food that literally causes them to be constipated. And so, for example, in the world of gluten intolerance, people usually think of gluten as causing diarrhea. But in fact, it can cause constipation as well. And that's just one good example, but it could be another food. It could be milk products, for example, could cause a person constipation, or eggs could cause a person constipation. And it depends on the individual. So it's not as if we can just aim at one food and say, well, this food always causes constipation. Because just like I said with gluten, if people react to it, sometimes it causes diarrhea, sometimes it causes constipation, sometimes it causes other symptoms and not digestive symptoms. And that's what makes it really challenging for people when they're trying to figure these things out, is that they're thinking, well, I just want the answer, right? I just want to know what food is it that does this, and then we'll solve the problem. But it depends on you or on your kid and how their body is reacting to a particular food. And so there are answers. I mean, that's what we find at the IBS Treatment Center, is that we can help people narrow it down and figure out what the real cause is, but it's not a matter of just saying, well, it's always this or it's always that. And even simple things like get enough fluids, get lots of water, because that's important. That's going to help the bowel move better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just getting lots of water, lots of foods, because if you're getting dehydrated and dried out, that's not going to help. You do want to get fiber in your diet. But most people, you can get a lot of fiber from food. You get a lot of fiber from vegetables and from fruits. And if you eat a relatively decent diet, you probably get a fair amount of fiber. Now, you hear about things like soluble fiber versus insoluble fiber and all that. And insoluble fiber is sometimes a little harsher than soluble fiber, but that doesn't mean that you're really curing the problem if you're taking the right kind of fiber. You're still just treating the symptom and not really addressing the issue. So it's not really a matter of are you getting the soluble fiber versus the insoluble fiber and the kinds of foods that have one or the other. It's what's really causing the problem.
And Dr. Wangen, because we only have about a minute and a half left, what about probiotics? Can they help?
They have potential to help as well, yes. Probiotics are another issue. This whole area of bacteria in your gut also impacts how you digest food and whether or not you have constipation or diarrhea or whatnot. So that's another tool that might be helpful. So I guess what people really need to know is that there is an answer for them, but it might take some time to sort it out, to figure out, do I react to this food or to that food? Do I need probiotics? Do I need something else? But there's an answer to solving these problems. It just might take some time, and they need to search for somebody who can help them rather than just accept their doctor saying, well, here's the Miralax, that's all, just live with it. And you'll be fine, because anybody who's had it knows it's really uncomfortable.
It certainly is. So hydration is so important. You can try probiotics. You look for the source of the problem rather than just treating the symptoms. And watch your stools. Watch how they're formed, whether they float or whether they sink. Look to the foods that you're eating and maybe narrow down what it is that's causing it. And find a good doctor that can help you and not someone that's just going to give you Miralax. Those are all great bits of advice, and that's what you're hearing right here on Melanie Cole's Health Radio Show. Stay tuned and stay well.